whatever he's saying, it's very real to him. Now, whether it is objectively real, that's questionable. But for him, it always felt real. So I felt like I had to approach it sincerely, whatever the scene was. But it's really left up to you, to the audience, to decide what you think is real or isn't.
That was Joaquin Phoenix talking about his role as the Joker in the new film Joker, which opens this week. And we're going to be talking about that film. I'm Neil Rosen, and I'm joined as always by Bill Bregoli.
Put on a happy face.
And Bill McCuddy, remotely.
Yeah, hi. I just walked out of a screening of Joker here in the Hamptons, and I got to tell you, whether you like or hate the movie, there's an actual police presence here at the screening. I went to the first screening in Southampton. There are three police cars here and two police officers actually in the lobby. So I'm wondering if this is happening across the country. But as we're recording this on a Thursday, it's the opening afternoon for the film, and there's some concern about whether this movie is going to incite anything.
Well, Bill Bregoli, since you saw it and Bill McCuddy saw it, and I have not yet, we're going to play the game at the end of whether I want to see it after hearing this, although I probably will see it regardless. But Bill Bregoli, why don't you tell me...
I'll tell you my theory of violence. No one's going to commit violence because the film's going to put them to sleep.
Well, it didn't put me to sleep. I found it interesting, probably more interesting than Bill did. And I have to tell you that I went to a public screening here in Long Island, and there were three police cars outside and two police officers in the lobby. So there's some real concern about whether this thing is going to incite any kind of violence. I don't think that it will. I admire Joaquin Phoenix's performance, I guess, more than Bill does. But, it's been talked about in comparison, because Robert De Niro is also in this film, with the King of Comedy. There is a Rupert Pupkin kind of an aspect to this film. But the real news here is that I think there probably is an Oscar nomination opportunity for Phoenix, and that rather than The King of Comedy, although it's not as good, it reminded me a lot of A Clockwork Orange. I just want to be clear about one thing. As an origin movie, it doesn't have any CGI. There's no kind of crazy special effects. It's really all Joaquin Phoenix in an origin story done in a way that I don't think we've seen before, which is just bare bones and kind of topical and timely, based on people not being happy with politicians and what's going on in the country. So it takes place in a Gotham about, I don't know, 30 or 40 years ago, where there's a garbage strike and everybody's unhappy. But I think I liked it a little more. It drags in a few places, but I never slept.
All right. Well, I noticed, why were you bored with it, Bill Bregoli?
They ran out of plot.
So it was just
it's him being beat on by different people.
So basically, if I'm to understand this movie, and why don't you tell me the plot of this movie? But instead of me telling you what I'm glamming from this, from just reading about it, why don't you tell the plot of the movie? He's like this dumped on guy, and
he's dumped on guy, and he lives with his mom. At one point, he kills three people in a subway,
like Bernie Getz kind of thing.
Yeah, they're jerks, but it turns out they work for Bruce Wayne's dad. So the newspapers say, there's a war on rich people, though you never know that the guys are rich or anything like that. That whole war on rich people thing seemed grafted on to me. That didn't work. I don't know what Bill thinks.
What do you think, Bill?
I found it to be more organic than that these were stockbrokers. People hate stockbrokers, and they were drunk and acting like assholes, and he becomes kind of a hero because of that. There is a divide in the city that's, the rich and the poor. And, Bruce Wayne's father is going to run for mayor of the city and clean everything up. And then some things happen that have happened in other origin movies about Batman. So that's pretty cool. And, Joaquin organically becomes this Joker. One of the things we haven't mentioned is that he has a Tourette's-like disorder where he can't stop laughing. That explains in kind of a cool way about the Joker's kind of maniacal laugh. And I think the movie does a lot of good sort of plant seeding for what becomes the Joker character in all the movies after it.
Now, I know we could use somebody like Grace Randolph or some Comic-Con, which is going on right now in New York City, to answer this question. because I don't know the answer, but maybe you do. But is this backstory, origin story of the Joker, something that was made up for this movie? Or is this in the DC comic book somewhere along the line that this is the way the Joker came to be?
Well, I don't know if in the comic book that he was originally a clown that worked in hospitals like Patch Adams. I kind of doubt it. But it's an interesting way for the storyline to have been developed. And, you know, we should mention that Todd Phillips, who's mostly a comedic kind of director, is kind of taking an Adam McKay kind of turn here and has delivered, I think, pretty incredible performance from Joaquin Phoenix, despite what Phoenix said the other night on, I don't know if you saw Jimmy Kimmel, but they released a tape where he kind of had a Christian Bale moment on set where he was yelling at the cinematographer. And so he's, you know, lost like 50 pounds, went deep, deep, deep into this character. And I think the new young Academy, with all its, you know, trying to break through and be younger and hipper, could potentially give this movie a little more affection than Bill Bregoli would.
Well, could
I'm so evil now.
I noticed in the trailer that De Niro, which is kind of odd. You mentioned King of Comedy a few minutes ago, Bill. Right. When Rupert Pupkin in King of Comedy basically crashes a clone of like The Tonight Show, De Niro is played Rupert Pumpkin. Now he's the Johnny Carson guy, and they have a curtain that looks like The Tonight Show curtain when the show came out of Burbank. Is he supposed to be like Johnny Carson?
Yeah, well, it was Jerry Langford, played by Jerry Lewis, in The King of Comedy, and that is kind of a fun switch for audiences that have seen both films. I think it owes a lot to,
some
other films.
No, I'm saying, is he...
No, he's got his different name.
I'm saying he's not Johnny Carson.
No, he's out of, well, no, he's out of beautiful night, downtown Gotham, actually, is the way he's introduced.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And when he bombs as a stand-up, apparently the Joaquin Phoenix character was a terrible comic before in the beginning of the movie from the trailer. Do you see him on stage doing terrible jokes and stuff like that? Bill Bregoli?
Yes, you see some of that, but we don't know whether or not we don't know how well his jokes go over because we're only shown the beginning of it. That's one of the things that the De Niro character does is he, because we live in a time where then, that's the one thing that's kind of weird. It mixes sort of what happens now versus then, but there's a videotape of him at this comedy club kind of sucking, and that's what De Niro plays on his show and then invites him on to sort of explain what he is and how he became the Joker.
Okay. So would you recommend this film, Bill McCuddy?
Yeah, I think you should see it. I think I think there's a little more plot here than Bill, and I agree that it drags in a couple of places. He dances like one or two too many times, but other than that, I think this is definitely worth seeing, and I think it is going to get at least some Golden Globe affection.
So you would recommend the movie to people. Bill Bregoli, you would not.
I wouldn't. Yeah.
You would not. I saw on Jimmy Kimmel last night this idiot Yaya guy who reviews movies saying that Batman is not in this movie at all. Is that correct? Right. But is Bruce Wayne in the movie?
Yeah, I said that.
No, you said Bruce Wayne.
No, you said Bruce Wayne's father was running for mayor.
Yeah, there's a young Bruce Wayne.
There is a young Bruce Wayne. And there's a really good scene between Phoenix and the young Bruce Wayne.
Okay. All right, so I will see it because I need to see it, regardless of whether I want to see it. I want to see it. I like the fact that De Niro, for anything else, I like the fact that De Niro is playing a talk show host.
He's not very good at it.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
I will agree with that, actually.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
But in the way he's playing kind of sucky old school 70s or 80s comics, not Johnny Carson at all, but just kind of a...
Like Shecky Green?
No, just not very good.
He's not very good.
Before we move on to the next movie, Joaquin Phoenix, despite you not liking the movie, Bill Bregoli, did you like his performance?
Oh, yeah, I liked his performance.
But not enough to make the movie worth going to see.
Right.
Even though McCuddy says that he's the whole movie.
Well, that's okay. We can disagree.
Okay, there you go. Let's move on. Okay, here's a movie I loved, and it opens this week. And if you don't want to go to the theaters to see it, it's called Dolomite Is My Name. It comes to Netflix at the end of this month. But I just thought this was terrific. And this is Eddie Murphy's year. I mean, he's going to be on Saturday Night Live. He's hosting. He's going to be on that show for the first time in like 35 years. He's returning to stand-up comedy. And then there's this movie where he plays, it's based on a true story. There was this guy, Rudy Ray Moore, and he was a thematically from the last movie, he was a struggling stand-up comedian who was doing very, very poorly, and he decides to adopt this character. You know, Bill McCuddy, you know, you did the lead. Oh, by the way, our show Talking Pictures will be on all this weekend on CUNY TV. Check local listings. But you did – why don't you tell everybody about the movie Dolomite, Bill?
Well, as you mentioned, Eddie Murphy works in a kind of a record store and is trying to do stand-up and break into it in the 70s, and is having no success until he meets an older comic who tells stories about this guy called Dolomite, who was kind of an urban legend or a folk hero on the, I guess, the Chitlin circuit and in certain urban audiences, and he kind of adopts that character, turns him into a more of a modern day pimp, and rewrites a lot of the jokes, and creates this character called Dolomite, and is very successful in a couple of stand-up routines around Los Angeles, and then starts going on the road in the South, and gets a real following. He records his own album, and that's a big success.
Well, the albums, and you should mention that the character dresses like a pimp, and the albums the albums are filthy, you know, but they're funny, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of in the mold of Red Fox and some of the other people, that Moms Mabley and people that worked that didn't really cross over into white audiences. And so he had a big following, and he thought, well, one day there's a great scene. They go and see a movie called The Front Page that Billy Wilder did with Jack Lemmon.
Which is like the whitest movie, like, imaginable.
Yeah, which is a remake of a 30s film. And they don't get, they're like, why is everybody laughing at this? This sucks. So they decide to make a movie. And so in very, very much the way The Escape Artist was the James Franco movie, a movie within a movie about a bad movie.
Or Ed Wood, which the screenplay of this movie, Dolomite Is My Name, is written by the same screenwriters who wrote Ed Wood, which was also about the making of a really bad movie, namely Plan 9 from Outer Space.
So that becomes a large portion of this film. It can't get distribution. They distributed themselves, and you know, this Rudy Ray Moore guy was a real guy, and this is his real story. The headline here, though, really, as you mentioned earlier, is that Eddie Murphy is back. He's having a great time in the role. They're on Gold Derby, where I'm a contributor. There's talk about him actually getting an Oscar nomination for this. I'd be surprised if that happened. Again, Golden Globe seems pretty likely to me, but you know, this is just a load of fun. I enjoyed the whole thing, and I recommend it wholeheartedly.
I love this. And this is old Eddie Murphy. I mean, you know, I'm tired of the Eddie Murphy, the Disney family-oriented Eddie Murphy that he's been doing for the last, like, 20-some-odd years.
Or the Mr. Church thing he tried a couple of years ago that was kind of deadly.
Right. Even when he does not do movies that are comedically-oriented in those family Disney kind of movies, like Dreamgirls, he's serious. This is Eddie Murphy, uncensored. And he seems to be, like you just said, Bill, I had a great time watching it. He seems to have a great time doing it. And it's just joyous and funny and just so un-PC, you know. And it's just, a Snoop Dogg is in it as a DJ. He's very funny. And all the supporting characters are quite good. And it's just about this guy's determination to, you know, make, you know, I'm gonna get this album sold. I don't care. I'm gonna make it at any cost. I'm gonna get this movie made. I'm gonna get this movie. And it's really. And who's the guy that? Because I saw it a while ago. That he goes into the recordings. He says, "I'm trying to help you." Oh, it's Chris Rock. He says he goes to promote.
Well, he's a DJ.
Right,
actually.
Chris Rock's a DJ, and he was doing he was promoting.
Kind of a surprise, I would have let people enjoy, but what the fuck?
Well, no. Well, he's doing he's on this radio station somewhere in, I don't know where, in the middle of the USA somewhere, in the middle of the country, promoting a gig that he's doing, a stand-up gig, and Chris Rock as this DJ goes, well, when can we see your movie? And he goes, I don't want to talk about it. And then when they go to break, you know, to commercial break, Chris Rock goes, hey, man, I'm trying to help you out here. You know, why don't you just, you know, you can't tell me when your movie's coming out? He goes, I can't get anybody to, like, show the movie. And Chris Rock says, you know, see my cousin. And that's how he starts self-distributing the movie, so to speak. It's very, very interesting. But more than that, it's very, very funny. I love this movie. So see it in theaters or wait a few weeks and come go see it when it comes into...
Have we talked Bergoglio into seeing it?
Yes, you did.
Do you like Eddie Murphy, Bill Bergoglio?
I'm like 50-50 on Eddie Murphy.
How about old fans? Eddie Murphy?
Old Eddie Murphy's fun.
But yeah, well, this is old Eddie Murphy. Wouldn't you agree, Bill McCutcheon? Wouldn't you agree this is old, like old type... The closest
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Can...
I think I said that earlier.
Well, I said it again. All right, let's move on to a movie that I saw that none of you have seen, but my wife has seen, who's actually in the room right now, called Pain and Glory, which is a Pedro Almodovar film.
Kind of describes her marriage to you.
This is nothing like my marriage, if I tell you what this movie is
right,
about.
There's no glory.
Well, anyway, so this is the most, I'd say, it's sort of... semi-autobiographical, but it's certainly the most reflective film that Almodovar has ever done. As Bill McCuddy mentioned on our show Talking Pictures with Neil Rosen, which airs on CUNY this weekend, he said, you know, that I know you have that the movie, Almodovar movies usually focus on women, and this movie does not. It focuses on this director, played by longtime Almodovar favorite Antonio Banderas, who is riddled with pain. He made a whole bunch of successful movies, but he can't do movies anymore because he has like 30 or 40 physical ailments. And he had a feud with this actor who starred in one of his movies like 30 some odd years ago in this film. And this movie that they made 30 years ago, they want to do a... like, what do you call it, Bill Bergoglio?
A revival at a festival. Yeah, they want to honor it at a festival.
A revival at a festival. So he goes to the actor's house going, they want us both to do a Q&A, you know, questions and answers with the audience afterwards. But they hated each other, you know? So this guy, they patch up their differences, this feud. And by the way, I'm not spoiling anything here. This is really all in the beginning of the movie. And instead of sharing a drink together to bury the hatchet, they do heroin together. And Antonio Banderas becomes a junkie because he enjoys the fact that it relieves him of all the ailments that he's been having. And that's all I'm going to tell you other than the fact that there's a lot of flashbacks in the movie of this director is a young child. And when he was like 9 years old, what would you say? My wife is in the room. Would you say he was about nine? Yeah, and his mother is played by another longtime Almodovar regular, Penelope Cruz, and the movie is shot beautifully, especially those flashback scenes, but it's very interesting. It might be, in my opinion, his best film. I mean, you really get absorbed into this particular character. You really care about what's going to happen to him, and Antonio Banderas is phenomenal as this guy, going through all kinds of changes, you know, and it's just if you like Almodovar, definitely see it. And I say, even if you're not an Almodovar fan, it's so different from your typical Almodovar film, and so many different facets of it are different. I say it's a really interesting film, and I highly recommend this. Would you see it, Bill Bergoglio?
Probably not.
Why? What more could I have done? What more of a ringing endorsement could I have given to this movie that I could have said to me, you watch this movie?
You said it focuses on guys. I like his films about women.
Oh, well, you got Penelope Cruz.
That's nice. Maybe.
What about you, Bill McCuddy?
Well, not only do I want to see this, but everyone I've talked to at the New York Film Festival and at the screenings that I've been going to, including the one last night we'll talk about in a moment, no one cannot talk about this film. They all think it's a shoo-in for an Oscar nomination, and it's Almodovar's best. It's slightly autobiographical, and so that's of interest. And I'm going to be there. I just haven't seen it yet.
I think this will definitely get a nomination for Best Foreign Language Picture upcoming in the Academy Awards. And I say that it has, I mean, not having seen the other nominees, but this is such a great movie that I think this has a great chance of winning the Academy Award for Best Foreign
Language. It's going to lose to a film called Parasite, but agree to disagree. I haven't seen either, but
I haven't seen Parasite, but let me tell you something.
This is a buzz around
this is leaps and bounds better than Roma. I'll tell you that much, you know, which we all didn't really care for.
Yeah, that's tough.
You know, although that people loved that movie, you know, but I mean, it's just really interesting. I mean, I've never seen Antonio Banderas go that deep on a character either. I mean, it's so believable. And Bill Brigoli for you, Penelope Cruz is really fun to look at. So, okay. So you will enjoy that. And
By the way, The Irishman is this year's Roma, but we're not going to talk about it this week.
Well, we're not going to talk about The Irishman. I'm seeing it very soon. We'll talk about it after that. But I will tell you, Bill, who did not like the film, I will tell you that everybody seems to think this is the great... Well, but again, that goes to your Roma comment where everybody loved Roma. But everybody seems to think this movie is the greatest thing going. So you stand alone there. But let's not have that Irishman discussion since we're going to... probably devote a lot of this podcast to that particular movie when we all see it, and it doesn't open for a while. So there you go. By the way, next week, before you get into the movie you saw last night, Bill, we're coming to you from the Hampton Film Festival, which we talked about last week. It's a great festival with lots of films, and if you can make your way out there, it's just really, you can see a lot of stuff that gets nominated and a lot of stuff that wins. We go every year, and we pretty much almost always see what wins the Academy Award for Best Picture out there. So that's my tip.
Yeah, it's a great festival because in addition to premiering some things that haven't been anyplace else, it really is kind of an Oscar cheat sheet. And so it'll have almost everything we need to see.
Yeah, so, you know, if you want to be ahead of everybody and say, you know, I've seen, you know, Green Book, or I've seen The King's Speech, or I've seen... you know, Argo, all these things I've seen, you know, the played out there, and you could see them. Nobody even heard of these movies when they were playing out there, and then they go on to win. So, Abby, what, my wife who's in the room, what else did we see out there that wound up winning an Academy Award? We've seen a lot of stuff.
Black Swan was out there 127 hours.
They didn't we see the water, the one with the water.
The Shape of Water.
The Shape of Water. Thank you very much. The Shape of Water. Yeah, they all play out there, and again, you don't. The average person, even us critics, don't even know these movies. And then months from now, everybody goes, "Oh, I got to see this thing." So it's really.
Well, the rest of us do, Neil, but it's nice for you to catch up.
Well, anyway, we're going to come out as we've been doing for years. We're going to be doing the podcast from out there and talking to many filmmakers and actors that are in movies that are be playing out there. Now, speaking of that, and actors that are in movies. We're not going to review this movie yet because it doesn't open for a while, but you saw a movie, Bill, last night. Why don't you talk about your little experience?
It was one of the premieres, the first time that A24 has shown this movie to anybody, and almost the whole cast and the filmmakers were there. It's called Uncut Gems, and it's Adam Sandler in a serious turn as a degenerate gambler who is works on 47th Street as a jewelry broker. And it's got Kevin Garnett in it as a basketball star. He plays himself. And it involves a giant opal that may or may not be worth $1 million. And it's about as good an Adam Sandler dramatic turn as I've ever seen. I think probably better than Punch Drunk Love and the Myrick Stories, which I thought was underrated a couple of years ago. This is probably the best thing he's ever done. He was there last night. There was a reception. He was in a great mood, giddy, answered any questions. You know, I think he's going to really go out and kind of work the rooms for this, and I think a Gold Derby agrees. The people who've seen it on there have it in their short list as he's one of the people that might actually get nominated this year. And I never thought I'd say, you know, Oscar nominee Adam Sandler in the same sentence, but there it is.
Well, how's the movie itself? I mean, you keep raving about his performance, and I don't want you to review it, but is it a great movie?
I can't really talk about it without telling you too much about
it. No, I just want, like, great, good, fine, bad, you know, and then we'll talk about
it. No, it's great. It's a little long. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes, but, you know, it's in that same sort of... like The Gambler, the thing with James Caan years ago.
All right.
California Split, the Robert Altman film.
That's a great, those are
you
two
know,
great
this
films.
Is a guy who loves the juice, likes the action, is tied. The Weeknd plays himself in this thing. He's got a girlfriend. And there's a lot of cool twists and turns in the plot. Eric Bogosian, who used to be a great fixture on the Broadway stage with one-man shows, is in it. Judd Hirsch's in it. And then there's some cool cameos in it that I don't want to give away. So, and 47th Street, the Diamond District, is a big part of it. It was all shot in there. So I like it. That's all I'll say.
I saw a movie last night called
Ford
versus Ferrari. Based on a true story.
Great.
It's got.
So I wanted to talk. I almost mentioned that in the Hamptons Film Festival because that's one of the movies I really want to see.
Yeah, definitely see it. And there's going to be an Oscar nomination coming out of it. Even though Christian Bale and Matt Damon are in it, but I don't think they'll get nominated. If someone else in the movie will, and I'm just going to hint. That's it.
Okay. Okay. All right. And
a supporting player.
Is in it that much?
What's that? Tracy Letts is in enough to get supporting actor, yeah.
Oh, well, you just tipped
so
it off.
So there you go.
There you go.
Well, no, I mean, I can guess that. It's the only other great actor in the movie.
Yeah, so we'll talk about Ford versus Ferrari when that gets closer to opening. And, hope you know, maybe we'll get to – maybe Tracy Letts will be out at the festival. Maybe we'll get a chance
maybe
to talk.
Maybe they'll have a Ford
there. I think, in fact, he is.
Okay, good. Cool. Well, we look forward to seeing that one. And we look forward to – you know, listening to, you know, having you guys listen to us when we come from the Hampton Film Festival next week. You could reach Bill Bregoli. You could follow him on Instagram at Bill Bregoli.
I started doing that. It's fascinating.
Really? I haven't posted in about a month.
And you could reach Bill McCuddy. It's very creative. Bill McCuddy's handle. It's
at Bill McCuddy.
That's correct. And you could reach me at
Sometimes
Neil.
Sometimes the best headline is tied 99 cents.
And you could reach me at Neil Rosen Apples. And again, I'm going to repeat that. Our show, Talking Pictures, with Neil Rosen, which has Bill McCuddy on it, and we're going to be doing all kinds of movies, and we talk about other music biopics on the show, and you can reach me, as I said, at Neil Rosen Apples, and I want to thank you, as always, for sitting around talking movies with us, and we'll sit around talking movies again with you next week.